Good morning. Over the last month, we have been looking at the theme, What is the Church? When I began this sermon series, I explored some of the pictures we have in the New Testament of the church. We looked at church as the people of God, as the family of God, as the body of Christ, as a holy temple, and as the bride of Christ. We then looked at church as a people of partnership, and considered how each one of us, young and old, all have a role, all have a part to play within the life of God's church. We then considered how church is a people of praise, and we thought about the importance and centrality of worship within the life of God's church, and particularly how when we gather together as the people of God, God is with us in a very special and profound way. We then looked at church as a people of prayer, and we thought about the example of Jesus and the early church. And we heard that wonderful illustration about Spurgeon and how prayer was the boiler room that drove his incredible ministry and saw many thousands of people coming to faith. And we were challenged to think about our own prayer life, both as individuals, but also as the church. And then last week on Pentecost Sunday, we thought about church as a people of power. And we reflected on how the Holy Spirit has been given to us, to the church, to empower us for the task of witness and service. And we focused particularly on Jesus' words in Acts chapter 1, where he said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And today we're thinking about church as a people of purpose, and we're focusing in particular on the centrality and the importance of mission. There's a little story that goes that after Jesus ascended to heaven, the angels gathered around him and said, "Did you accomplish your task on earth?" And Jesus said, "Yes, all is finished." And then the angel said to him, "Has the whole world heard about you yet?" And Jesus said, "No." So the angel said to Jesus, "Well, how are people going to hear about you?" And Jesus said, "Don't worry. I've entrusted that task to my 12 followers." And the angels looked at Jesus. Then they looked down at the earth and the disciples that were left behind. And then they turned to Jesus with a worried expression on their faces and said, "You do have a plan B, don't you?" Friends, there is no plan B. We are it. And it's the church, the local church, in all its various manifestations, that is the God-ordained means of drawing people to Jesus Christ and drawing people into the kingdom of God. Now, sometimes we hear dire warnings about the future of the church in the West, and that it is one generation away from extinction. And we have to take seriously the challenges facing the church. But in many ways, the church is always one generation away from extinction. Paul in Romans chapter 10 writes this, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them?" So we have a responsibility to tell others about Jesus. We are the people of God, the ones who continue that work and that mission of Jesus in the world. And I love this quote. "It is not the church of God that has a mission in the world, but the God of mission who has a church in the world." I'll say that again. It's not the church of God that has a mission in the world, but the God of mission that has a church in the world. And that's why Bill Hybels, an American pastor and author, said that the local church is the hope of the world. And Emil Brunner said that the church exists by mission, just as fire exists by burning. Where there is no mission, there is no church. And where there is neither church nor mission, there is no faith. But what is mission? I suspect when many of us hear the word mission, we will immediately think about evangelism, telling other people about Jesus. And the word evangelism comes from the Greek word meaning good news. So evangelism is sharing the good news of Jesus. And that's absolutely correct. Evangelism is at the very heart of mission. It is our primary task as Christians. But mission is more than just evangelism, as important, as critically important as evangelism is. Because ultimately, mission is about the transformation of the whole world. Mission is ultimately about seeking to bring heaven down to earth. Bill Johnson said this, "It's God's job to get me to heaven. My job is to bring heaven to earth through my prayers and my obedience." My job is to bring heaven to earth through my prayers and my obedience. And that's why when Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer, he teaches us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven." So mission is therefore proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, but it's also about seeking the transformation and the redemption of the whole world. It's about fighting injustice. It's about looking after the poor, the sick, and the lonely. It's about caring for the environment. It's about all of these things together. The World Council of Churches defines mission like this. They said that mission is both part of the church's essence and the basic task of the church. The church is in the world to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to everybody and to serve everybody. The church is in the world to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to everybody and to serve everybody. And we see that dual role of proclamation and service in our Bible reading today, when Jesus sends out the 72 ahead of him. And when he sends them out, he gives them two clear instructions. He says, "Heal the sick." In other words, care for the people you meet, serve the people you meet, and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. Proclaim the good news of the gospel. So we see that dual nature of mission there, serving people, healing the sick, and proclaiming the good news of Jesus, telling people the kingdom of God has drawn near. And notice that Jesus doesn't restrict this task to the inner circle of Peter, James, and John, nor does he restrict it to the 12 disciples. He sends out 72 people. In other words, everyone is involved in mission. Mission is not just something restricted to a select few. It's something that all of us as Christians are called to engage in. Now, the number 72 is also very important. In Genesis chapter 10, the number of nations as recorded in the world at that time was 72. So when Jesus is sending out 72 people to the towns and villages that he's going to visit, it's showing that the gospel, the message of the good news of Jesus, is for the whole world. That's why in the Great Commission, Jesus instructs us as his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. This gospel message is for everyone. And this is the task of every single one of us as Christians, young and old, male and female, single, married, divorced or widowed, doesn't matter who we are all sent out by God into the world to be his witnesses and to serve those around us. And as Jesus sends out the 72, he says to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Now, as we look at our own society, we can see how true those words are for us today, as well as they were all those years ago when Jesus first spoke them. I'm doing Bible in 1 year with Nicky Gumbel, and a few days ago he said that we can see the results of a society that is attempting to shut God out. And he gave some statistics. He said that every day around 300 people get divorced in our country, that the Samaritans receive a phone call every 14 seconds, that the pornographic industry is worth billions of pounds, and that there are up to 30,000 Christian ministers of all types in this country, and more than 80,000 registered witches and fortune tellers. So, you know, the need is great. Each one of us is called to be God's witnesses, to be sent out to serve God in the world. And notice that in the sending out of the 72, Jesus sends them out in pairs. It's a reminder that mission is something that we need to do together, in partnership. It's not just the responsibility, as I've already said, of one or two people. It's the responsibility of all of us. And we need to partner one another, help one another, support one another in this task. Also notice that when he sends out the 72, he empowers them for the task of mission. When they returned, they came back with joy and they said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." Jesus gave them power and authority over sickness, over the demons, over death itself. But Jesus says to them, "Do not rejoice that the demons or that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." So Jesus sends out the disciples, the 72, and he equips them for that task of mission, just as he equips and enables us for the task of mission that he is calling each one of us to participate in. Now, I think so often when we think about mission and we think about missionaries, we think about people who go overseas, usually to some exotic location, to serve God. But as I've been making clear, hope I've been making clear during this talk, we are all called to be missionaries. We are all called to serve God by proclaiming the good news of Jesus and serving the people around us, the people God has placed us amongst. And that will look different for each one of us. But each one of us has a place, has been put in a place where we can make a difference for God. So you see that as the church of God, we are a church with a purpose. The purpose as we participate in God's mission in the world, as we continue the work of Jesus Christ in the world. And as I draw this talk to a close, I just want to challenge you to think about, you know, how is God calling you to serve him? In what ways can you proclaim the good news of Jesus? How can you share the good news of Jesus with your family, with your neighbours, with your friends, with the people that you meet day by day? And in what way can you serve God practically in the world? You know, who are the people you can reach out to in love? Because mission is about service and proclamation going hand in hand. We're going to hear now from one or two people from our own church family. We're just going to share about how they serve God. But before we hear from them, I want to conclude with a word of prayer. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to see the opportunities to share your love with the people that we meet. Show us how to serve them and when to speak. And we pray particularly for St. James, that we will be effective in telling the Jesus story and giving people ways to find out more and to respond to his love. In his name we pray. Amen.